you all so much for joining us for GCA Day here at Grace Baptist Church. My name is Tony Pointer, and I do have the privilege of serving as the head of school here at GCA. But my story with GCA goes back a long time. I've been serving here at the church in a number of different capacities, and actually started working specifically at GCA in 2005 as a Bible teacher, and had the opportunity to teach children for many, many years. And as I'm looking across, I see quite a few of you all here, so I'm glad you're still in church. Praise the Lord in that. So I want to state what today's purpose is. Today is not a commercial. We're not going to be talking about, hey, send your kids to Grace, although if you want to, that'd be fantastic. I want to make today about an expression of gratitude, a gratitude first and foremost to the Lord our God for what he is doing in the lives of so many families and students around the East Tennessee area through the ministry of Grace Christian Academy. But also I want to say thank you to you. Grace Christian Academy is not a separate entity. It is a ministry of Grace Baptist Church, and we could not open our doors and invite in over 700 students each and every day if it were not for you, for your faithfulness, for your giving, for your prayers, and for your support. So on behalf of all of the faculty and the staff and the families and the students, I want to say thank you. I think God's got a powerful message for us today out of Mark chapter 10. So I want to invite you, if you will, join me in turning to Mark chapter 10. We're going to be down in verse 13. I want us to take a few moments to look at how did Jesus look at children? And there's going to be a challenge here at the end for each and every one of us in this room. Now, some of y'all are saying, well, I don't have kids, or my kids are grown. No. Please understand, this challenge is for all of us. Everybody has children in their lives in some way or another. Perhaps you have nieces or nephews, or perhaps you have grandchildren, or perhaps you have an occupation which you work with children, or even if you work with somebody who has children, you have children in your lives. And could it be that God is calling you to minister and to pour into the lives of these kids? I think we have a profound challenge here for us today. If you don't mind, please go ahead and stand and join me as we read together in Mark chapter 10, starting down in verse 13. It says this, and they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant, and he said to them, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And he took them in his arms, and he blessed them, laying his hands on them. Let's pray. Father, as we walk through your word today, I pray that you would open our hearts and open our minds to see the calling that you've placed on all of our lives to invest in the next generation. Father, may we not be found wanting or short. Give us the power that we need so that your kingdom can advance. In your son's name we pray, amen. You guys go ahead and have a seat. I know many of y'all are probably familiar with the show Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. So obviously long-running TV show. It was interesting. I was watching a documentary just a couple months ago about the making of the show, and I was really fascinated because when I knew Mr. Rogers, you know, he had been on the year on the show for years and years and years, and he had spoken so much truth and so much a good into this world and into our society, and his perspective on children was fascinating. But what was neat in this documentary is that at the very beginning, he was told that his show was going to be an absolute failure. They said, "You just don't get it. Your show is not entertaining, right? It didn't have enough glitz. It didn't have enough glitter. It didn't have enough, cartoons or computer graphics or any of those things. It will never succeed." And what's amazing is that it was so successful. And he's done several interviews throughout the years. Of course, as you know, he comes obviously from a ministry background, but he looked at children a little differently. Instead of looking at children as products that you sort of have to mold and shape and form them into what you want to be, he looked at children as beings who had potential. Potential that had to be nurtured and cultivated, right? Yes, there's discipline involved in that. But instead of forcing them to become like what you think they ought to be, could it be perhaps that they have a plan in their life and that they need to be molded into shape into what that plan is, not what necessarily what you think it ought to be? I think in today's passage, we are encountered with a really real challenge here of how we are to look at the children in our lives. Let's look real quick at verses 13 and 14 real quick. Look what happens here. These parents are bringing the children to Jesus so that he might bless them. And how do the disciples react? They're annoyed, right? And so we see in this passage that Jesus here is teaching something that's contrary to really what was probably the accepted perspective about children of that day. Most people looked at children and they looked at them as a blessing, or as a burden, excuse me. But Jesus looks at them as a blessing. So first of all, one thing I want to say that you can see in this passage is that children are a blessing from the Lord, not a burden. Children are a blessing from the Lord, not a burden. Notice what it says. The parents were bringing their children, but the disciples rebuked them, right? Now, we don't know exactly why. The passage doesn't exactly say. But if we were to infer, it probably has to do with the fact that they thought Jesus is this great teacher. He's out there healing the lame. He's restoring sight to the blind. He's out there preaching this powerful message. He doesn't have time for children. And Jesus hits the pause button. And he brings a message of conviction to these disciples. And he says, no, you don't understand. Let the little children come to me. Jesus understood that these children were not a burden. Now, I know some of y'all are thinking, Tony, you don't know my kids. Yeah, you know, I got a couple of my own, right? They are an expenditure of time and energy and resources. And by golly, they do get in the way sometimes of your plans, right? But maybe that's on purpose. Could it possibly be that God has allowed these children to come into your life to teach you and to model what faith is supposed to be? What we see in this passage is Jesus flips the script and he says, children are not a burden, they are a gift. Kids have a way of reminding us of really what's important to life when you strip it down, right? Let me give you an example of that. I'm going to say two words that is going to deeply resonate with every student. Snow day. Everyone remembers a snow day, right? It's the most wonderful time of year. You get that message that school is called off. You throw your textbooks. You're like, this is fantastic. What are you going to do? It doesn't matter. It's a snow day, right? Everyone enjoys a good snow day. In fact, I think adults, we need to reinstitute snow days. That's exactly right. See if you can work that out in your places of business. Snow days, it's pure joy is what it is. Why? Because it's getting down to the simplicity of it all. You don't have to go anywhere. There's no obligations. You don't have this to do or that to do. You just get to go outside and build a snowman and throw snowballs and get in trouble. Well, minus the trouble part, right? It's just fun, right? Children have this way of stripping away all of this stuff and reminding us of really what is important in life. They are a blessing. I have a couple embarrassing stories to tell about my own children. I told them this would be coming, so please don't bug them about this, but I said this would be coming, all right? It's just one of the hazards of your dad being a preacher. I want to talk about my daughter first. My daughter came into this world with pizzazz, right? She had a dramatic entrance, okay? And it actually started even before she was born. My poor wife had to be on bed rest because my daughter kept trying to come early. Right? She kept trying to jump the gun on us. And so there's my wife. I'm in the middle of working on my doctorate. I'm having to travel back to Louisville, to Louisville, Kentucky and back. We have a two-year-old toddler running around. And all of a sudden, our little girl tries to jump the gun and come early. So my wife's on bed rest. It was an amazing time in the Pointer household, I can assure you that, right? And then when it finally came for her to be born, she was a preemie. And she had to spend several days in the NICU. And obviously, some of y'all have had experienced that. And let me just pause for a second. Those doctors and nurses that work in NICUs are truly miracle workers. If you know one, please make sure you reach out to them. Buy them a car. I mean, they deserve it. They are amazing, amazing individuals who are literally saving lives each and every day. So grateful for them. And the ladies and the gentlemen that we were able to work with during that time were just such an amazing blessing to us. And during that time, though, everything was paused. You know, when we were going back and forth and going to the NICU to visit with Micah, all the other stuff didn't matter because it was just about focusing on her being healthy and her growing and developing. And God used that moment in our lives to say, stop what you're doing and just focus. What really matters in life? Children also teach us things that we just couldn't learn any other way. I don't know how many of y'all have ever prayed for patience. But get in a car with a toddler and go on a really long road trip, that will teach you patience, right? Why? I don't know. Why? 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 Some of you all have been there. Children also, God uses them in powerful ways to teach us things like kindness and compassion. I love when children are on the playground. They don't really care. They just want to play. And it doesn't matter if that kid just punched them in the face 3 seconds earlier. They're just going to play, right? It doesn't care if that kid just picked up that sucker off the ground and stuck it in their mouth. They're not grossed out. They just want to play, right? They just want to go out and they don't care. They just want to play. What an amazing sense of acceptance and kindness. Children also show us wonderful humility. In this passage here, Jesus is saying, let the little children come to me, for such belongs the kingdom of God. You know, there's a vulnerableness with children, isn't there? A willingness to say, I don't know it all. I can't do it all by myself. I need other people. Jesus is saying here, that's what you need to be like as followers of me. You need to be willing to come to me and say, I don't have it all figured out. I need you, Jesus. Children also have the ability to teach us amazing theological truths. You may not always realize it. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Children don't get caught up in all of the rhetoric and all the fancy systems. When they love God, they love it. They love Him in the purest sense because they don't have all of this stuff surrounding it. It's also a great way, by the way, to brush up on your theology. Because if you really want to strip down what the Bible teaches, try to teach a child the scriptures. Talk to kindergartners about the Trinity for a second. That really forces you to get away from all this language that we sometimes use to make ourselves sound smart. And it really drives home the point of who Jesus Christ really is. So instead of looking at children as a burden in our lives, could it be that God is calling them into our lives to be a blessing? I refer to Psalms 127, verses 3 through 5. It says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Children are a heritage from the Lord. You are going to die one day. Sorry, didn't mean to break the news to you. And if the Lord tarries long enough, what you have taught this generation will then carry on into the next generation. Here's the thing I want you to realize. The only way we are going to be able to fix this mess that we're in is going to be through the children that we currently are serving with. They are the next generation. What world are we going to hand them? What are we going to give to them? Because they are the heritage. Right? They are the continuation on. I love in verse 4, it says, children are arrows in the hand of a warrior. You think about it for a moment. A warrior knows what to do with an arrow. He knows how to use it to defend. He knows how to use it to attack. He knows how to use it in the way that it was intended. If you and I realize that children, as we'll see here in a moment, they're not designed to look like you and I. They're designed to look like Jesus Christ. If we understand that concept, then we will be able to use children, not use them. We will be able to develop children so that they can go out and change the world for Jesus Christ. And I love verse 5. It says, blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He will not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Children are instruments of grace and blessing in our lives. Could it be that perhaps through the life of a child, God is speaking to you? I think also in this passage in Mark chapter 10, Jesus is reminding us that children are supposed to be a blueprint and not a business. Children are a blueprint and not a business. Look what it says in verse 15. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter into it, right? There's a fixation here on the eternal. Jesus isn't talking about, hey, let's bring these kids here so that they can grow up and be successful businessmen and women. Jesus has a much longer perspective, an eternal perspective on these children. And when I say that they're not supposed to be businesses, we had this temptation of thinking, my job is to sort of give everything to these kids so that when they grow up, they become successful. But that's my view of success, right? I want them to grow up to look like my view of happiness. I want them to go out and to do things that I think will bring joy into their lives. And Jesus is saying here, listen, that is not the point. Children are not supposed to be developed into your image. They are to be developed into the image of Christ. In his article, "Your Kids Are Not Projects," author Cameron Cole states it this way: "We believe, largely because the culture tells us so, that we're called to manage our kids as a lifelong project. We need to develop them into producers in the market economy, start building that resume by hiring cheerleading trainers and batting coaches at age 6, book that tutor before the school year starts when we don't even know if our kid will struggle in that class, skip family Thanksgiving to get into that soccer tournament. God has given us this child to cultivate into a winner, and we will over-program this little human to ensure success." What we do is, unintentionally, is we try to make our kids look like us. But Jesus is saying in this passage, no, 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 no. The kingdom of God belongs to them. There are a lot of things that you can teach your kids, but the most important thing that you can teach them is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That truth is going to transcend you. And yes, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years here on this earth, students may walk and they may have success, but if they do not know Jesus Christ, we have failed in teaching them all that they need to know. Because they are going to be in eternity a whole lot longer than they're going to be here. And Jesus is challenging his disciples. You need to flip your perspective and you need to look at these children as image bearers and not just as products that you prod and shape into how you want them to be. Jesus is reminding us that children here are a blueprint. Notice it says, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child. Children are not supposed to be like their parents. The parents are supposed to be like their children. Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. That doesn't mean we all go out and start playing Xbox for 12 hours a day, all right? Sorry, Pastor Mike. Appreciate you, buddy. Yeah. No. They're still growing and maturing, don't get me wrong. But when it comes to faith, look to children. They're perfect models. Because children inherently show biblical humility. I said that earlier. They don't have it all together, and they're not afraid to say, you know what, I don't know, right? I still need to learn. And there's a vulnerability there that we see in this passage about children, that they just don't have it all together. You know, when it comes to your faith in Jesus Christ, it starts with humility. You have to know, God, I cannot do this on my own. And then what I also love is this modeling of faith that happens. Because if a child believes someone to be an authority figure and they trust them, they'll do what they say, right? Now, this is different when you walk in the room and say, do it because I said so, right? Sometimes that doesn't work. But when a child has seen it lived out, and they have seen it modeled over and over and over again, and they trust you because they know that you love them and that you have their best interest in mind, they will obey. When you and I come to Christ, so many times we want to put so many qualifiers on it. I will trust Jesus as long as this happens, this happens, and this happens. And what we need to realize is that Jesus is the only qualified Savior to whom we should put our faith and trust in. In this passage, Jesus is reminding us that children are a blessing from the Lord. But it doesn't stop there, because children are little sinners, all right? We freely need to admit that. And they are not inherently in and of themselves going to discover the gospel. Children are eternal beings who need the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they have been entrusted to you and I, and we are involved in the task of teaching them about him. It's just like what Wyatt was singing earlier. The greatest thing is to be known by God and to be loved by him and to receive that love. The original Mr. Rogers was a theologian and an educator by the name of John Comenius. He was a 17th century theologian. And he wrote a book called School of Infancy. And it says this: children do not train themselves spontaneously, but they are shaped only by tireless labor. God, therefore, has enjoined this duty on parents, that they should wisely and with all diligence instill into their tender minds of children all things pertaining to the knowledge and fear of himself. The intentional cultivation of children to know the gospel is the primary calling of all of us. Every parent, every uncle, every next door neighbor, all of us have kids in our lives. And we need to be working together to model Jesus Christ to them. At Grace Christian Academy, our mission is very clear. We desire to partner with parents and the church to evangelize, disciple, and commission the next generation. And I sort of want to walk you through this mission real quick. And I've got some friends who are going to come up on stage and help me with this today. And the first person I'd like to call up is one of our teachers, Miss Rachel Eller. And while she's coming up, I want to talk about our first part of our mission statement. Grace Christian Academy exists to lead students to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We know that children are a precious gift. We know that they need the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so our desire is to work with the church and work with families to be able to engage in this process of leading students to salvation. Hey, Rachel, welcome.
Hello.
Yeah. Rachel and I, by the way, we served on the pastor search team together, and it was a long process, yes.
We said earlier it was like 10 years.
That's right.
Like it was about 10 years.
Felt like 10 years. Rachel, thank you so much for joining me. Talk to us a little bit. How did God call you to GCA?
Well, it actually started when my kids were very little. I had the opportunity to send my oldest child, Johnny, to MDO and when he was two, and I still had Jackson at home. He was an infant. And when Jackson was two, we had such a great experience with Miss Diane and Miss Barbara that we wanted to bring Jack along. And at that time, I had an opportunity to actually sub for some of those ladies who were very impactful in actually my path. And during that time, I just fell in love with children. And I knew that that was where, you know, God had called me and led me to be. And so I was at Grace Baptist Church for a while, and then the Lord actually called me to GCA. I had been talking for quite a while with a running partner of mine who actually started praying for me in this opportunity way before I actually took that opportunity, or actually met with Ms. Pointer and Jared Clark. And the Lord just opened the path for me, and so I've loved it. And, you know, when you can go to work and enjoy what you do every day, it's definitely a calling.
Yeah, fantastic. So one of the things, obviously, children are precious gifts given to us, and one of the greatest things that we can do is to share the gospel with them. So talk to us a little bit about how you've been able to partner with families to lead students to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Well, and like you said, it is a partnership. From the very beginning, I realized that I'm never going to be a child's best teacher. You know, I was fortunate enough to have Micah in my class, and I thought about embarrassing her, but I thought you already did enough. But it starts at home. You know, parents are going to be the best teacher they're ever going to have, and I am privileged enough to be able to walk beside parents and partner with them, and that's a big part of it. And I've had some very, very neat experiences. There's been many children that have come to know Christ during the time they've been in my class, but one that specifically sticks out to me, Jeff and Amy Bryant, most of you guys probably know her. I had Maya in class, and she's one of those children that just asked lots and lots of questions and was always very inquisitive about Jesus and all of those things. And I got a call at 9 o'clock one night, and it actually wasn't from Amy, it was from Maya, and I was the first person that she wanted to call to tell me that she had accepted Christ. Yeah. So there was another experience, too, that sometimes we, you know, every parent that has a child here is not also a believer. And I had an experience with a child who I had to meet with the parents many times within this particular year. And during one of our last conferences, I found out that because of their child hearing and learning what they were learning here at school, that the father actually accepted Christ into his life. So that was just two examples.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Sharing the gospel with our kids is challenging. You know, I know as a parent, you just don't feel qualified sometimes. And so talk to us a little bit as a Christian educator, what are some ways that, what advice can you give us on how to share the gospel and lead our kids to Christ?
Well, I definitely don't feel qualified a lot of the times, but I think that we make it hard on ourselves sometimes because reading the Bible is difficult sometimes. There's big words in there that even as adults we don't understand. But I think, just kind of like Mr. Rogers did on his show, he made it very simple. So I think sometimes we make it too big, and I think we underestimate them too. I think a lot of what we need to do is be listening to them. And kids do ask a lot of questions, and sometimes we don't know the answers. I don't know the answers, but I do know who does know the answer. Mm-hmm. And I look to the Bible, and we a lot of times in class will, and even at home with my own children, go to the Bible because, you know, fortunately my children have the opportunity to have a Bible class every day, and it's amazing that they sometimes will say things and I'm going, wow. And so, but those are just a few ways. Is just don't make it so so hard. Right. And also, you know, Scripture, we do a Bible verse every week in class. And yes, I want them to memorize that verse, but more importantly, I want them to understand what the verse says.
That's right.
And so we will break those words down, and kids ask questions all the time. And a lot of times we have to look answers up. And as a parent, I think that's exactly the same thing that we should do.
Mm, fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah. Give her a hand for me. One of the greatest moments I think we have as Christian educators is we get that phone call from a parent who said, I just wanted you to know our child accepted Christ. Man, that is fantastic. Because at the end of it all, yes, we want our kids to graduate. Absolutely. We want them to go on and have successful careers. But at the end of it all, we want them to know Christ. We want them to make that eternal decision. And so, such a blessing. The second component of Grace Christian Academy's mission statement is that we want to disciple. We want to build students up to their full potential in Christ. Build students up. We understand that a student who comes to know Christ isn't going to know everything. And so now we begin this discipleship process of helping them to understand what it means to walk with Jesus, what it means for them to discover who God's created them to be, not who we think they ought to be. And so we begin this intentional discipleship process. Well, that only happens when we're able to partner with families and the local church. I want to invite one of our families to come up, John and Emily King. And we're going to talk a little bit about the discipleship process that they've been able to experience in their lives with their own children. So join me in welcoming them then to the stage. All right. Hey, guys, thank you so much for coming.
Good morning.
Yeah, John, will you sing for us real quick while you're up here?
No.
Okay. Just wanted to check. First of all, thank you all so much for letting me rope you all into this again. But I just wanted to touch base real quick. Talk to us a little bit about how did God call your family to Grace Christian Academy?
I'll let her begin.
Okay.
We moved to the area in August of 2015. We lived about an hour from here. And we had homeschooled the few years before that and fully intended on continuing to homeschool. And then a few months before we moved, John said, let's maybe consider a private Christian education. And so we began looking around at some of the area schools. And Grace, obviously, was on our list. And we came to tour, and Terry Rash was a great first impression of Grace. And we spent a good portion of the day with her and just touring the school and talking with people and talking with her about our faith and just what we were looking for. And when we left that day, we both just, I think, had this overwhelming feeling that this is where we're supposed to be. And so we quit looking, and we've been here for about, this is our sixth year.
Yeah, I had just felt God leading me in the idea of Christian education, and I struggled with it in the beginning a little bit, and but you know, we ultimately just wanted to plant our kids somewhere. Where they could grow in their faith and grow academically and athletics and everything. And so when we explored GCA, we really felt like it fit. It kind of checked all the boxes, if you will, of what we were looking for. Hmm.
You talked about looking for partnership and help your kids grow. Talk to us a little bit more about that discipleship process. How have you been able to partner with GCA in the discipleship of your own children?
Well, it's kind of a loaded question a little bit, but we had, you know, we all want our kids to be educated. We want them to grow in their faith. We want them to be well-rounded citizens. And we felt like GCA could help us in that, could partner with us in that. And I'm so thankful that it's not just us partnering with you.
Yeah.
It's GCA partnering with us also. It's a two-way street. And just being able to, you know, our kids, they're spending half their time away from us. And so I'm thankful that we're able to have a place where they're reiterating what we're trying to implement at home and live at home. So
yeah, fantastic. One of the things all of us, as we were just talking about, God will use our own children or children in our lives to teach us things we wouldn't have learned any other way. So what are some things that God's been teaching you through this discipleship process with your own kids?
Well, I'm very simple-minded, I think. So Mr. Rogers was right up my alley when I was little and still probably today, actually. But they challenge me to constantly keep growing in my faith because, like Rachel said, our kids will mention things, and I think, wow, you know, I probably didn't know that when I was your age. And so they do amaze us sometimes. But I have found that when one of our kids is going through something, it's either something I've experienced in the past or sometimes even something I'm going through at the moment. And so that challenges me to just make sure I grow in my relationship with Jesus so I can help them and that we can just keep that connection, you know, just not while they're in our house only, but even when they are grown and adults, you know, so we can keep that relationship with them as well.
Yeah, I would second that. And we were speaking with a family between services, and they their child accepted Christ just a couple nights ago.
Praise
and they mentioned the school was instrumental in that, and you know, it's another affirmation for us as in our family what we desired. And you know, I'm not sure how to answer the question as far as what I'm learning. I've learned a lot. And I'm still messed up. And
amen. Sorry, did I say that left?
But the messier the world becomes around us,
yeah.
I think the more God reminds me of how special GCA is to our family. We're thankful to be in this environment, and because again, our kids are being supported, and I guess you could use a word of reiteration or reinforcement of what we're trying to implement at home. But you know, our kids will be adults one day, and you know, we have a short time with them.
That's right.
And so I'm thankful for GCA and all it's doing, and it's a testament of what you guys have done in sacrificing. To have a place like GCA.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you guys so much. Not only do we want to lead students to a saving knowledge of Christ and build them up in their full potential in Christ, but we also know that one day, hopefully, they're going to graduate. And when they leave the walls of Grace Christian Academy, what are they going to go and do? And so our third component of our mission statement is equip. We want to equip students to serve Jesus, to go out and build the kingdom. We know not every one of them is going to go out and become a pastor or a missionary. We know many of them are going to go out and become doctors or teachers, and some of them are going to become moms and dads or landscapers. And whatever God has called them to do, we want them to go out and to do that to build the kingdom of Christ. And so I want you to hear a video testimony from one of our former students who now is one of our current teachers. And she talks about how GCA has equipped her in this process.
Hi, my name is Caroline Cross. I graduated from GCA in the class of 2011. I went on to the University of Tennessee to get my bachelor's in English and master's in theory and practice and teacher education. And now I'm an eighth grade English teacher here at GCA. I am so thankful to be back here at GCA because GCA, I credit to most of my biblical foundation, not only in knowing God's word and apologetics, but I had teachers around me every single day that were modeling for me what a relationship with Jesus looks like and what it means to be a Christ follower. So I am so appreciative of GCA for laying that groundwork for me and my relationship with Christ now and who I am now, not only in my education, but in my soul and my relationship with God. Some of my favorite memories I have at GCA have to do with the relationships that I've built here. I remember conversations with my teachers where they were willing to talk to me about my personal life and about school, and it wasn't just about academics. I also have so many fun memories with my friends, and I created lifelong friendships here. So I'm so grateful for all of the fun memories that I had at GCA.
This mission of leading, building, equipping doesn't happen without so many people speaking into the lives of these kids. And that starts with each and every one of you all in this auditorium and online. You who are faithful to support Grace Baptist Church are supporting the transformational work that's happening in the lives of so many others. To that, I'm truly grateful. I think also today, I want to make sure that we understand there's still a challenge here, a challenge for each and every one of us. God is calling all of us to develop the next generation of Christ followers. They are blessings that God has given to us, eternal beings who need the gospel of Jesus Christ. That isn't just going to happen on accident. There's an intentional purpose that needs to take place. And whether you partner with a Christian school or partner with a local church, the key is that you have a calling to step into that gap. You may say, well, I don't even have kids. This applies to any child that God brings into your life. Could it be possibly that God is calling them to help you become more and more like Christ so that you could turn around and help them to become more and more like Christ? The next generation and where they go and what they do is going to be profoundly shaped by the decisions we make right here, right now, today. And it isn't one of those things where we look at a child and we think, man, that kid's going to grow up and do this or that or that. Could it be perhaps that God is calling them to something we would never even know? I'll give you an example with my own life. I'll go ahead. I told an embarrassing story on my daughter. I'll end with an embarrassing story about my son. My son is in a lot of ways like me, but in a lot of ways he's not like me, right? He's got probably a lot of his mother in him, praise the Lord, so he should do well when he grows up. But one of the things I noticed is that we do not problem solve the same, right? I'll give you an example. My son right now, if he were to show you, could solve a Rubik's Cube in less than a minute, right? I am still working on one side. It's taken me about 4 years. And he looks at me, just kidding, about 4 years. It's taken me, actually, no joke, about 2 years. And he looks at me and says, Dad, you just need to do this, this, and this. And he's like, and it's done. I'm thinking, how in the world did you learn to do that, right? Well, here's the thing. My son's not exactly like me, and that's a good thing, right? He's not exactly like me. There's a lot that I can learn from him, just as there's a lot that he can learn from me. And if I'm not careful, I can look at those differences as a source of frustration. I can say, well, you're not acting the way that you're supposed to act. You're not doing what I think you ought to be doing, right? You're not fulfilling the dreams that I have for you. But in reality, could it be that God has uniquely molded them and shaped them to become who he's created them to be? This process of discipleship and building and investment in eternity doesn't happen by accident. It's an intentional process. And the challenge is for you and I today to all be involved in developing the next generation of Christ followers. Because one day, it will not be us sitting in these pews. It will be our children who will be the preachers and the teachers who are going out and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here in just a moment, Jeff's going to come up and play. And during our time of invitation, I want it to look a little different. I want to give you some things to pray about, to pray in unity about. I want you to first and foremost pray for the next generation. Pray for those young men and young women who are right now in our schools, kindergarten through 12th grade, even up into college, who are on the cusp of trying to figure out who God has created them to be. And I want you to pray that God would give them clarity in their lives and to show them how he's going to use them to transform their culture. I also want to encourage you to pray for teachers, all teachers. Listen, we did not sign up for COVID. You know, education during this time period was never in any course that I ever took in all those years of education. There's no manual for this. And so I want you to pray for those teachers, all teachers, public school, private school, it doesn't matter. Pray for them that God will continue to use them in a powerful way. And then also pray for parents. Same thing. There's no manual for this. So pray for those parents that you know that are trying to raise those children to the best of their ability, that God would give them the strength that they need. At this time, will you join me? The altar is open if you want to come and pray, or you can pray in your seat. But if you guys will stand for me real quick during this time, I want us to pray that God would continue to do a great work in and through our nation to help shape and mold the next generation. Join me in prayer. Father, we confess that we do not have all the answers, but we know, Father, that you've given us an incredible opportunity. There are blessings that are walking around us each and every day, Father, and I know that you are using them to teach us things that we could not learn any other way, but also, Father, I pray that we would sense that calling that we have to be able to pour back into their lives so that they could be transformed into the image of your Son. Father, help us to take this calling seriously. Help us to be dependent upon you. And just like they have childlike faith, Father, may we have childlike faith in surrendering to you so that we can teach the next generation what it means to know you and to be known by you and to make you known. Father, I do pray for every single teacher across this nation and across this world, God, that you will give them strength during this time when there are so many rules and regulations and things that just don't look like education like we were taught. Father, give us great strength to be able to continue to pour into the lives of kids. Father, I pray for all of those parents who are doing the best they can. God, that you will bring others into their lives to help them and to assist them. And Father, that together we will work to be able to transform this world for your Son. God, we love you. In your Son's name we pray these things. Amen.